Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I'm your host, Kirsty Farija.
And I'm the other girl. I'm Amy. And we are excited to be with you. We are two professional organizers and declutter coaches from Australia. Today, our podcast episode is about dealing with deceased estates. And if you are thinking, I'm going to skip over this episode because I'm never going to have to worry about this, do not, because at some point, you are going to have to deal with a deceased estate, whether it's for your immediate family or extended family. So this is going to be good information, and it also might help you to prepare for one day
for your own.
When you have a deceased estate personally.
For your own.
Hopefully a really, really, really long time away.
Yes. You know, let's, you know, there's lots of taboos in society, and death should not be one of them. No. Like, it's a reality.
Yes, what is a deceased estate?
So deceased estate is the estate of somebody who has deceased.
What's an estate, though? Because people may not be familiar with that either.
Okay, the estate is the assets, the house, all the belongings of somebody. How else would you describe it?
No, it would be the stuff of someone who died. That's how I would describe it.
But you have the actual being.
What we want to declutter is, it's not even about just the decluttering. It's actually about how do I deal with it. I thought we'll put a link in the show notes to an episode I did with Australian Unity about 12 months ago. And the podcast is called What Happens When I Die. And the episode that I did was called Stuff. And so we talked about deceased estates and how to deal with stuff. And I learned a really cool word, Kirst. I don't know if you've heard it. Maybe in your financial planning years. It's called chattels.
Yes.
Ah.
I'm an accountant. I used to be an accountant. I do know what chattels are.
I had never heard of this until I did this podcast and Anna told me all about it. But why don't you explain what chattels are rather than me delve deep into the remnants of my memory?
Oh, no, you go for it. I would love to see this experiment of you diving into your memory.
Okay, what I remember chattels being is things like jewelry, and they're like items that are not an asset as such. Like, it's not a house and it's not an investment shares and that type of thing, but it's the physical possessions. Is that right, Kirst?
Well, that are worth money.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you won't know if it's a chattel or not. So one of the things I would recommend is you assume everything's a chattel unless you know otherwise. Are you going to Google, Kirst, what the actual meaning is?
Yes, I'm just looking it up so that we're not talking. Item of property other than the freehold land, including tangible goods and leasehold interests, is according to dictionary.com.
Awesome. So it's the stuff. It's not the actual house itself or property itself, but it's the stuff inside is the chattels.
Everything apart from the real estate.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be
a big part of what you're dealing with when someone dies. And it's not, it's often not just when someone dies, but it's the last person that dies that's living in that home. So if it's in my family and I die, it's not a deceased estate because there's Cal and the kids still living here. Then they're dealing with my personal belongings, but it's not a deceased estate. A deceased estate is when everybody that's lived there is done and there's nobody that is the current resident in that house. Would that be the correct way of saying it, Kirst?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're either keeping the house as an investment property for the whole family or you having to sell it to create the disbursement of the estate.
Oh, see, this is where you're coming into your own using massive words. But basically it's like so that everyone has a bit of the kitty.
Yeah, well, the executor of the estate has to enforce the will. So yeah. The will will determine how the assets are divvied up between people who are named in the will. Yeah. So, and that can be your family members, but it can also be a charity and, you know, other places that you mm-hmm. will your chattels and investments onto. And so usually this lands, this decluttering or the organising of the deceased estate lands in the lap of the executor of the will.
Which so is a really big job.
That's why you say no to being somebody's executor.
Are you you don't have to tell me who, but are you anyone's executor?
Yes, I am.
I knew you would be.
Thank you, parentals. Thank you.
I love that.
Luckily, they only have a motorhome at the moment.
That's their chattel.
That is their real estate and their chattel.
So what you may have to deal with is there may be parents or grandparents or in-laws who have a deceased estate. So they've passed away and there's a home, and often there's a home full of things. Even if it's a retirement home and it's just one room, you still have all the things. And so when it comes to decluttering, it's a really different process when you're dealing with a deceased estate than when you're decluttering your own things and you are the owner of the items. It's quite a different process. And there's things that you can do now that will make it easier when someone else has to manage your deceased estate. And there are things that you can do to make it easier when you are managing a deceased estate or being part of the process.
Yeah. So there's... You know, we're making a light of some of this, but we know that dealing with deceased estates is very overwhelming and can be very overwhelming. And we do want to acknowledge that it is a very sad time often, and that it is a hard season in people's lives, especially as they're grieving, and grief can look like all sorts of things, you know, and even if you're estranged from your family and don't have good relationships with them, the passing of somebody who is in your family can bring up loads of grief. Mm. So we do want to acknowledge that. We're not dismissing that in any way just because of some of the levity that we bring to this topic. And so... we want to acknowledge that, and we want to acknowledge that that is why we are really passionate about helping people with deceased estates, because having somebody else involved in the deceased estate can bring that perspective and that fresh eyes to it. And we are not emotionally attached to the items. We're not emotionally attached to the person. We are not emotionally attached to one of the siblings or the children or one of, like, we're not.
Is there favoritism?
Yeah, we're going in looking at it from a professional's point of view, from a declutter coach and the professional organizer's point of view, and we can come in and help the entire family. So it's a really, like, we really love the idea of being able to come in and help families in this grieving season, and having that being removed from the situation. We definitely want to give you tips on how you're doing it if you're going solo, but our biggest number one tip would be to, if you can, pull some resources from the siblings and, you know, pay for some professional organizing help in this season, even before the distribution of the estate has happened. Because if there is money to be taken out of the estate, you can always pay yourselves back from that distribution. But if at all possible, to enlist the help of professionals all the way along. So you can outsource the executorship of a will as well, but you can also, you know, outsource somebody coming in and valuing all of the antique furniture or all of the furniture. You can have people come in and evaluate jewelry. You can have, like, I would just really recommend that you know your limits, that you know, that you recognize that you're grieving, even if you don't think you are, like, for whatever reason, that acknowledge that there may be grief involved in this, and some of your emotions may be heightened, and some of your decision making ability may be decreased because of the emotions around dealing with a deceased estate. So bringing in some fresh eyes, bringing in professionals wherever you can really ease your sense of overwhelm and ease the burden.
And add to that siblings and family relationships are never straightforward.
No.
I'm yet to do a deceased estate or deal, you know, anything that had multiple parties involved where it was straightforward. And that's why a professional is really great to engage, because you do have someone that is objective, as Kerr said. So I would say that if you're going to hire a professional, wherever you are in the world, there will be somebody that can help you. You can just search, like, declutter coach or professional organizer in my area. I would engage them as soon as possible so that they can almost project manage with you. One of the things that I have found... One of the things I've found helpful is when I've been able to come into a deceased estate. So there's two different types of deceased estates in my mind as a professional. There's one where you're going in and it's a really, really cluttered situation, and you as the family can't tell what's rubbish and what's not. And then the other situation is where you go in and actually everything's really well organized and it's well kept, and so you're just trying to make sure the things go to the right space or to the right people or to the right charity or to be sold or whatever it is. The earlier you engage a professional, the more value you're going to get from them, and the easier the process can be in terms of setting up systems. So if you called Kirsty or I and said, Mum has passed away 2 weeks ago, we've had the funeral, we're just about ready to go into the home and actually start going through the things to, say, prepare it for sale, we could say, okay, here's the first tip, is have a family meeting in the house where everyone goes around with a coloured piece of painter's tape, and anything that they want for their own personal memory, you put your piece of painter's tape on it, and you don't care if everyone else has already put a piece of painter's tape on it. You just go around and you put your pink tape on all the things that you would like to take home with you as part of your memory, not as part of your distribution, but just as part of your inheritance. And that can be a great way to start it out, so that there's this clear understanding and a process. Okay, that's the first thing we want to do, because you want to have people go through and take, oh my gosh, I remember that milk jug and I know it's worth nothing, but I really want it because I want to use it as a vase. It's important to kind of have that process before you're getting a skip, or before you're getting the op shop to come, or before you're bagging up clothes for donation.
Okay, so Amy, that's an awesome tip. How do people divvy up an item that has 16 tapes on it from all the children and the grandchildren?
Excellent question. I would recommend that the immediate family do this first, rather than letting the aunties and uncles and grandkids and nieces and nephews and next door neighbours have free reign, so that you are dealing with a smaller number of people. And it is going to be hard, but I think it is just a matter of grace, understanding, communication, to say, okay, I've put my sticker on the dining table and chairs and the bed frame, and you've put your sticker on the bed frame, so why don't we go one each? Like, there is no shortcut. I wish there was a shortcut. I'm yet to find a shortcut. If you know of a shortcut, please jump into our Facebook group and let us know, because that would be super helpful. But that initial process is time consuming in terms of the negotiation, if that's necessary. We did this with when my grandma moved into a nursing home. So she's still around. She's amazing. She's 96 in a few weeks. But she was moving out of her home and into a one-bedroom nursing home. And so basically the children, like her children, went and picked anything that they really wanted, and then the grandchildren went through. And I've told this story before on the podcast, but I picked a couple of teacups. I loved having a cup of tea with her, and so I took two beautiful teacups that I now use. They don't just sit, you know, somewhere in a cupboard. I use them to drink my tea from. And it's not that it was the most expensive thing. It was just purely about the memories. And so sometimes it's easy if people are just going for the that's, like my mum, when her grandma died, wanted her sugar bowl. So maybe there's something there. Maybe our family just love drinking tea. So I think that there is no shortcut, but it's a lot of showing grace. And I would say that in this instance, you want people to be picking things they want to keep, not I think that's worth a lot of money, so I want to sell it. We're talking about like personal items.
Yeah, and that's all if it hasn't already been outlined in the will.
100%.
Yeah. So there's just so, like, I know there's I've already
so many
said
moving
all of
parts,
this, but there's so much goodness around having that independent person being there. So to calm situations, mm-hmm. Particularly like we know families can be fraught with difference of opinions and stuff. Yep. And that's why having somebody independent in there coordinating it and maybe even like managing it. So the executor is only managing it from a will perspective, but not actually, you know, managing it from a family relations
yeah.
perspective. It's a similar season. It's not, it's very different, but similar to what we say when we talk about downsizing is that having somebody in the home, so having a professional just really helps you to be able to keep your eye on what's really important. And what's really important, you know, is unique and different for everybody, but we come from it from a relational point of view, and we want to see families be restored to one another if at all possible, but at least not fracture any further than they may already be. And for this not to be a catalyst for fracturing.
Mm-hmm.
So having that person, having somebody, whether it's a professional organizer or a lawyer or, you know, somebody independent of the family mm-hmm. coordinating this season. And, you know, that's why finding a great professional organizer who can potentially project manage this situation can be a wonderful investment for you as a family in this season.
Because there are things that you won't even have thought about when you're thinking about a deceased estate. So you may look at mum and dad's furniture that they bought over with them on a boat as they immigrated and think that's got to be worth a lot of money. It's really old. But there's a term now and it's called just brown furniture, and it's got very little resale value. Even though it's old, its resale value is really low because that's not the type of furniture in demand. It's just the nature of economics. And so you may have thought, oh, that's going to be worth a lot of money. And now you're like, well, I just need it to go to an op shop. Do you want to be the one that's ringing around trying to find how to get big items to an op shop? Do you want to be the one booking skips? Do you want to be the one having a jewelry assessor come out? So having someone project manage is great from that perspective, because they're going to think of things and know access to services that are just going to be time consuming for you. I was working with a family of a deceased estate late last year, and the thing that I found really interesting was the family were very unified about what happened, what they took, And they were happy that everything, so they had gone through before we arrived and taken out anything of value that they wanted to personally keep. So like dad's watch or mum's wedding dress, whatever it was.
Items.
Correct. They've taken those out.
Financial items.
Exactly. And so our job was purely to come into the property and everything was either going rubbish or donate. And it was our job as professional organisers to just go through the house, and we got to make that decision based on the quality of the product. What was very, very, very interesting is one member of the family was happy for everything just to go in the bin because they just wanted it done quickly. And another member of the family was very, very strong on wanting to repurpose and recycle as much as possible. And so we had these two conflicting values. One, I just want this done ASAP and I want it to be as inexpensive as possible.
Yeah.
And the other saying, half of the stuff in this house is really good value and can go to an op shop. And so we ended up negotiating that we did do the op shop stuff, but when it came to rubbish, we didn't differentiate with the rubbish. It all just went into the one place rather than a saying, well, this is clothing recycling, this is paper recycling, this is metal scraps. You know, we came to an agreement. But it's interesting that even though the family are like, yes, this is all rubbish and recycling, rubbish and donation, we're still not aligned with what we want you to do with that.
Yeah. And there are different solutions to that. We, you know, you can pay for, there are companies in Australia and presumably around the world that will come in and take all the rubbish and do the sorting for you.
Uh-huh.
It just is an added expense on top of
correct
whatever it is, however you choose to deal with this deceased estate. But there definitely is, you know, in Australia, these services. So you can hire skip bins and they do the sorting for you at the other end.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One of the things, Kirst, that I think can be really confronting when you're dealing with a deceased estate is learning things about, usually it's parents, that you didn't realise. So you may not have realised that the mattress had no support in it and they must have been in pain sleeping every night. You had no idea the state of the shower. You had no idea that they had such little amount of food in the pantry. Like, it can be really confronting when you have a look and you see the way that a loved one has lived that you weren't aware of. Or you may find that all the undies that they were wearing were threadbare and yet there were packets of new undies that they just had never used. And so it's more just as a heads up that there may be things like that. When you're dealing with a deceased estate, I've had deceased estates where you learn things about people that you wish you didn't know,
yes,
that had been kept secret during their life. And, you know, that's part of it too. I wish we could protect everyone from that, but that is part of going through a deceased estate.
Yeah, and I think that one of the benefits of having a professional organiser come through as well, and this is something that you can be aware of if you're choosing to do it by yourself as well or like as a family group, is we say this all the time with all of our sessions, nearly all of our sessions, there can come a point where you just want to set a match to it all, or you just want to put it all in the skip bin, you know, and that is where it's, because it's so overwhelming and there's so much, or there's a really short time frame, like there's a real urgent need for the family to get the house on the market as quickly as possible for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And that is where we really encourage you to
take a break, have a cup of tea, have some food, have get some water into you and slow down sometimes. Because I heard a story just the other day from a sweet listener about when she was helping her parents to downsize, and she had found her parents got to that point and just went, nope, just chuck out all of the paperwork, just chuck it all out. And she went to bed that night and crept down and went through that paperwork because she was concerned. And she found some really, really sentimental stuff. And she chose not to tell her parents about it because they had made that decision to let it all go. But particularly in deceased estates where, you know, unless there's something specific in the will that's telling you otherwise, you do have the opportunity to make those decisions for yourselves. And yes, there can be competing choices within family members, but we would really recommend that you do go through the paperwork to find, like, to make sure and everything. Mm. That's where it's really challenging and can be very overwhelming. And it can look like it could be an insurmountable cost to you, either, you know, if you're outsourcing it to a professional organizer or if it's your own time that you don't take the time to go through everything. And so that just means that it's a decision that you have to make around, okay, what can you think of that may be important for people to look out for? So, you know, if there's adoption papers or if there's some tricky situations in your family, you know, how can you work it so that you're looking for those tricky situations or tricky documents or tricky items and not remembering years later and then regretting those decisions? And that's why, again, having some fresh eyes on the situation, that's what we as professional organisers are looking out for. We're looking at every piece of paper, we're looking at every item and making an assessment and helping you to make an assessment or helping the family to make an assessment about what this is and what does it mean to the family.
Kes, I'm going to make a recommendation that may just be the thing that saves someone's sanity. My recommendation is if you're selling a deceased estate, clear every single thing out and then hire someone to stage it for sale. I have been in way too many situations where they're like, well, let's keep these three couches and we'll keep two beds and we'll keep some linen and we'll keep this chair and the dining table. And it isn't fantastic because it's usually 30, 40 years old and is not actually making the house all that more sellable. And then after you've had opens, you then still have to go back and do another declutter to get rid of everything. I make a high recommendation that if you can do a full declutter of the house and either sell it completely empty or get stages in, and then they can come in, make it beautiful, and then take it all away again. So your job is done. I find that it's really tricky when you're doing the job in two half bits, or maybe you're buying some furniture or hiring some, but not the rest. Make it easy for yourself. Make it as easy as you can for that side of the project.
Yeah, and that's why having somebody outside of your family to give advice is really helpful because they can see the bigger picture. Yes, they may not be looking at it with financial eyes, you know, and they come with it with their own bias. So obviously take everything that we're recommending into consideration into your unique situation. We're not presuming that everybody has a bucket of money to be able to afford to spend on their parents' house before they get an inheritance, or they may not even be an inheritance.
Yeah, might be paying a mortgage off.
Yeah, or you might be paying off aged care fees. Yeah. Like there's, you know, we're not presuming any of that. But yeah, so what's some more advice that we can give to people if they're doing it themselves, or, you know, what happens when your siblings aren't cooperating or don't want to do it? Like this situation is so fraught with so many different scenarios that we can't cover all of them.
No, we can't. I think if you're doing it on your own,
I would recommend, where possible, do it in a short period of time. What I have seen multiple times is where families feel that they don't want to make decisions too quickly, which is totally fine. And I understand that process of, I feel like I'm too deep in the grief to be making wise choices. But then they're like, let's just do like one day a month for the next year. And then it's 2 years. And it becomes this overwhelming burden of that constant mental tab open of, I really need to go to mum and dad's and sort this out. But like, so much else is happening and I'm busy. So I would say, if you can give yourself a time frame, that's really helpful. That's also helpful if you've got family that needs to come into town for the process. You might have siblings interstate. I know I'm dealing with a deceased estate at the moment, and they're actually going to put it all in a storage unit so that the family can organise a time when everyone comes in for a weekend. They pull everything out onto the landing of the storage unit and process it there, rather than at the moment where it's in a client's house and taking up a lot of space and a lot of burden for her. So yeah, short time frame is what I recommend, because then you can also say, all right, we're going to hire a skip, we're going to book a truck from the local op shop to come on the Monday, and you can knock it over.
Yeah, and that's where having a storage unit is a great idea, even if it is for a long-term solution. Like, maybe you do need to, maybe for whatever reason, you do need to do it over a long extended period of time. If you get in and box up everything that's not rubbish, and then hire a storage unit and be able to go there, you know, and then maybe you can go there separately from your siblings. You don't own, and then you can just make a pile for them to sort out, or to decide on if it's like more sentimental items or more. But yeah, hiring a storage unit is a great way of getting a house on the market very quickly.
Yeah. And what you can do too is create a WhatsApp group with all the parties. And if you've got one person that's on site, they can be taking photos of things and popping it in and saying, you know, if anyone wants any of this, just let me know. And you can be taking photos of those things that you think might be important, so that there is that process. I think the challenge is when you come up against blockages and it just kind of grinds to a halt and you lose all momentum. That's where it gets really tricky.
Yeah, and I have also dealt with people who have had their own house not only become the dumping ground for all the deceased estate items, but their house has become cluttered and disorganized because of the time that they've been spending at their parents' estate or their family's estate. So, and they've had mental health issues because of dealing with the deceased estate. So we really want to encourage you to look after yourself in this season as well, and to be doing the self-care that you need. And that's not sitting by the pool doing nothing or getting a massage necessarily, like, although it can be, but how can you enter this season not contributing to the trauma and not contributing even more trauma to what you may have experienced? Yeah, so how can you be caring for yourself in this season and caring for your siblings and other members of the family? Like, how can you set it up in a way, if you're in control?
if you can,
or how can you suggest it to other family members to be dealing with this in a healthy, sustainable way for your family, but also for everybody else's family?
There's also a great episode that you may want to jump back to in our feed. It's an episode called Death. So you can just search for that in your podcast app. And in that episode, Mandy talks to us about what it was like for her to have her husband and both of her parents die in a relatively short period of time. And so there's some great tips in there on how to deal with some of the sentimental chattels, and also some of the self-care around that.
Yeah.
Kirst, what can we do if we are aware that our estate is one day going to be a deceased estate? What are some tips so that we can prepare, so that, you know, like, I want, when Cal and I die, I want it to be as easy as possible for the boys. I don't want them to have conflict and stress and extra burden. What can we
extra
be doing?
Extra stress.
That's
they'll
right. There'll be grief and stress.
Grief.
And that's right. So how do? What can we do? If you're listening to this and you're like, actually, I'm going to downsize, but I want to also prepare well, hit us up.
Yeah, well, I think that, as always, it's not always within our control to be doing that. Like, so for instance, what I mean is that some of our family members who have deceased have had a quick decline in their health and have not been able to look after and maintain their home in a way that they would have preferred, or in the way that they used to, or maybe they never did. And so just acknowledging that we can't always control how we end up, how life ends for us, but let's deal with what we can control. And so let's control the amount of clutter that we accumulate. So being really intentional about what comes into our home, and then what being intentional about how we maintain our home as well, so that it is easy for people to come in and find our sentimental items, find the things that, like, the sentimental paperwork, like if you've got family histories, if you've got birth certificates, and like really like those memorabilia, like have them all together so that your family can just find a box or two of memorabilia of your life, so that they can then go through that stuff and they already know that it is important to you and why it's important to you. I think we've spoken about it in sentimental items and throughout our memorabilia episodes around telling your stories.
Yes. That's what I was like, go to the telling the story bit, Kirst.
So my parents have just downsized. They've just sold their home. They've moved into a camper van, but when they were going through all of their possessions, I encouraged them to tell stories about the items that they were willing to pass on to us, because they're not keeping a whole lot at all. But what was really special is that they've taken photos of the items and they've told us stories of those items, how they came to be, why they're important to them. And so that made it really easy for us to decide whether or not, one, we wanted them at all, because they're sentimental to my parents, or my parents can tell a good story about it, does not mean that I need to keep it, or that any of our family need to keep them. And we're really lucky that my parents aren't overly sentimental. So they it's up to you. They didn't put any burden on us to keep it, which is very different to some families who put a lot of burden on their family members for, I don't know, keeping up the family history or like this.
So
is
what
really
did you keep,
Kirst? I don't think I... My parents haven't died, so there's still a lot of life of them keeping.
Yes, but there's stuff.
Yeah, so actually just kept my mum's, I love my mum's paintings, so I've asked for quite a few of them. And so of their stuff that they wrote stories of, I think the stuff that I liked, I think some other family members had snaffled first, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, they told stories. So that was really, really helpful for us to go, oh, okay, this looks like an ashtray and none of us smoke. So why would we keep this ashtray? Well, actually, I can't tell you off the top of my head, but some family member, great grandfather or great uncle, made it out of shell casings from World War I. And so I know one of my brothers has kept that, but we know why it was important to them, and we know the story behind that.
And even though you don't have the ashtray, you have the story. That's the great bit. And one of your brothers can share a photo of that at some point if you need to, and you have a photo of it and the story. It's the storytelling is so important, and you can't do that once you're dead.
No, and that was what was really lovely. My mum and dad, through this process, they wrote down a brief history of themselves, wrote their life story in short form, and then added all the stories to these of their sentimental items. Wow. And so I've got it, even though I don't have that possession, I've still got that document. So that's what's important to me. And so I think that, therefore, I would encourage other people to do that too. Like, tell your stories, tell the stories of your sentimental, because even if your house goes up in fire or it gets flooded, like what's just happened in New South Wales, if you have those items photographed and stories told about them, then your family members can continue to enjoy them even without the physical possessions.
Yeah. I love that. I think we've given you so, so much to take away. As always, if you want one of us or our team to come and help you with a deceased estate, you can get in contact with us via our website, which is theartofdecluttering.com.au. But we welcome your questions. If you need to come over into our Facebook group and ask any questions, we'd love to share with you and have the group think and contribute to solving any problems that you have. We're so, so appreciative. Now, this review is from Dolce Vita on Earth, and it's by Apple Podcasts, and it's from Norway. I think this is our first review from Norway. Pretty stoked about it. It's a 5-star review titled Great Ideas to Declutter. And Dolce Vita says, thank you, Amy and Kirsty, for sharing all these fantastic tips. Our home is getting more decluttered day by day, which feels awesome. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing from Norway. This week, we would like you to write a review if you have ever been to Norway. If you've ever been to Norway, it's your turn this week to write us a review. Simply go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review there. Or if you don't have Apple Podcasts, you can always go to our Facebook group or Facebook page, I should say, and leave a review on there. It's any way that you can help other people find us. And that's what you can do to help us grow our podcast.
I want to say tak skal du ha, which apparently is thank you in Norwegian.
Oh, very good.
Probably butchered it, but
you gave it a shot. You gave it a bell.
I did. Thank you. There is so much more to talk about deceased estates, and we would love, as Amy said, to continue this conversation elsewhere across our platform. So please do. We can't wait to hang out with you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.